Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. This program addresses the topics surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor, Bible teacher, and conference speaker for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word.
Well, we're getting another day closer to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back to this earth and he will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And some of the good things that have happened to our country came because so many of the people that set the country up were really Bible-believing Christians. And you would be amazed if you could read some of the statements that they made about the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly you take, for instance, George Washington. And I have a book at home and it has his prayers in it. And he was someone that really knew the Word of God and believed it. And there was many other people that founded this country. And so they had dedicated it to the Lord. And so we were prosperous because of that reason. And we can thank God we still have our religious freedom at this time. And so we can thank God for all of those things. But we're also looking forward to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back, and it's getting closer all the time. And the Bible says that when the Lord builds up Zion, he will appear in his glory. And, of course, Jerusalem is on Mount Zion and is being built up right now. And so we know that from the Word of God, it's getting closer all the time to when we'll see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Today, I want to thank Pastor Sundemeyer. He picked me up and brought me to the program today, and he's sitting right across from me. And he's been a school teacher, but he's also a pastor. Now, what's the name of your church?
The Cleveland Christian Chapel.
Okay, and that's on Denison Avenue.
Yes, 6400 Denison Avenue.
That's right near, not far from Denison and Ridge, where I live. And he's been a friend of mine, and I appreciate him. He offered to take me today because John usually picks me up. But, I'll tell you what, since I had the stroke, it had damaged part of my eyes, and I haven't been driving around, you know. So maybe somebody that's out there, you got some extra time, you'd like to do some driving. I'm preaching at different churches now, and so you want to volunteer, we could have some fellowship. But Hopefully sometime not too far distance I can drive again. But anyway, I'm glad he's Pastor Sundermeyer's here. I asked him to just give a short testimony about how he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I was brought up to be a Christian from when I was little. I had it from baptism when I was little. Pastor Arnold Krentz baptized me when I was a baby. I've come to believe in believer's baptism now and have partaken of believer's baptism. But I was brought up to believe in the Lord in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I was brought up to believe the Bible as God's word and to believe the scriptures. And I can remember when I was little, I can remember caring about people going to hell. And I can remember caring about people who were starving to death and had very terrible physical conditions here on this earth. And I believe that to be a working of Christ. And then when I got older and into high school, started wandering away, college, Miami University, Oxford, Ohio, there I started to go off away from the Lord and into directions of wickedness and shameful directions. But I remember there was a group that came. There was a group that came and they had some guitars, and they were preaching and handing out Gideon Bibles in my senior year of college. And I took one of those little green Gideon Bibles and listened to them some. And that really made an impact and made me think about it. It made me think, and I think that's where I really started having a truly conscious turning unto the Lord.
Well, I thank you for that testimony. And you accepted Christ back then?
Yes.
Yes. Well, that's wonderful. And
I remember also going forward under the preaching of Roy Thompson at Cleveland Baptist Church for an altar call there.
Well, that's great. And that's when you accepted the Lord, or that time? Yes.
Well, I was believing in the Lord at that time, but I felt a call there to come forward for the altar call.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that. He mentioned about being brought up in the Lutheran Church, and Martin Luther translated the Word of God into the German language. And when he did it, he was in the Wartburg Castle. His Frederick of Saxony had arrested him and put him in the castle, not for anything he did, but he actually put him there to protect him from Charles V because he had made the stand at the Council of Worms, and he had, at that place, he had stated that unless you could show him from the Word of God and reason, he said he would not recant his writings. And we mentioned in the last few weeks, I think, that Martin Luther was a big shot in the Catholic Church. He was, and he was an educator of Catholic priests, and he had started to study his Bible, and that's what we try to encourage people to do. And he realized that salvation was a gift of God, and it was by the grace of God, which comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And so when he realized that, it just transformed his own life, and it transformed the lives of many other people. And so when a guy named Tetzel in the next county was selling indulgences, and actually Luther looked at it as he was selling salvation, it really disturbed him, even as a Roman Catholic, as he said, God has offered us salvation as a free gift. How can we sell it? And so he put up the 95 Theses on the wall and then on the church of the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. And these were theses showing that God had offered salvation as a free gift, and that the church should not, the Roman Church should not be selling salvation. And so somehow or other, I don't think he ever understood what would happen, but this was picked up and it was printed and it circulated all over Germany, and it caused an explosion. And you know, before this, a man named Erasmus had published the Greek text, and this was a Greek text that had come from the East, and then Luther translated it into the German language in the Heilige Schrift Bible. Interestingly enough, though, it had already been translated, and when Luther translated, they'd say, well, he translated it very rapidly, but he already had a Bible that was translated into German from the received Greek text. We've been talking on our program all along that there is the true text that has come down to us. It's called the Received Text, or Textus Receptus, and it can be traced right back to the apostles. You know, when the apostles wrote the New Testament, after that, immediately people started writing books. I'll give you an example. For instance, Clement of Rome wrote a book, and most historians date it to about 90 A.D., and in this book, he quotes most of the New Testament. And then you have Papias writing something, and then you have Polycarp writing, and then many other authors. And so through these many books and these Bibles that they have today, we can trace the true text all the way back to Christ and the apostles. And in this program, what we're trying to point out is that the King James Bible was based on the received text that came down to us. It wasn't invented by Erasmus, as some people would try to say. It was the text that was there. And the proof of this is that this text was found in Bibles in museums all over Europe. For instance, the ancient Irish church that Patrick had preached in and that he had founded, he started 360 churches. We have his writings. And they were Bible-believing churches. They practiced believers' baptism. They taught salvation by grace through faith, and they sent missionaries all out. But they have remnants of those Bibles, and they are the received text. You know, St. Peter said this, that you're born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. The Word of God lives, and something that's alive can reproduce itself. You know, if one group dumps the true text, and it's been translated in different languages, but if they get rid of the God-honored, the Holy Spirit-backed text, another group, God will raise them up, and they will get the right text, and they will preach it. And you know, what we're talking about, some of you, it might sound strange when I'm saying some of these things and holding up the Authorized King James. If you read what Spurgeon said, and we have read it numbers of times in our program about the Bible, he criticized people that corrected the King James Bible. He was what you would call a King James-only person. And you read D.L. Moody, and we have read him on this program numbers of times. He was a King James-only. You know, people mock that position. But you think about it. Is that reasonable to have Bibles that contradict each other, that come from texts, the underlying texts that don't agree? The modern texts are called, as we have said many times, the eclectic texts. These are manuscripts that disagree with each other in thousands of places. And you can have the Vaticanus, Sinaiticus, Ephraim Rescriptus, the Codex Beast, and all that. And they might have, on one verse, disagree in four or five places. And they're called the eclectic texts, the mixed texts. And the modern ones are based on these corrupt texts. The Word of God, it says, it liveth, it can reproduce itself by the Holy Spirit of God. And then it says, it abideth forever. That is, the Christians will always have it. The true Christians will always have the true Word of God, whether it's in the English or other languages. And so right very early, it was translated. One of the earliest texts is translated by 350 at least. It's called the Italic Text, and the King James, to a great extent, is based on that. The Koine Greek text, another text, and it came out, possibly a lot of it written by the apostles themselves, and it is the basis of the King James. The Syriac Peshitta was translated about 350, and once again, is the basis of the Authorized King James Bible. And so it was based on the text that the apostles gave us that has come down to us. Now, one of the, in the modern versions, which are counterfeit Bibles, one of the things that I have mentioned a number of times in the program, but it really activated me and got me interested in this subject, was one day I was reading in a New American Standard Bible, which is a counterfeit Bible. It says in there, his father and his mother, it refers to his father being Joseph. Now, I know that somebody will immediately say, well, that's just his stepfather. But Mary, in Luke chapter 2, in that very chapter, she comes to Jesus at 12 years old when he's talking to the doctors of the law, the educated people, and she says to him, and she's covering up now because probably when she told her friends, they probably mocked her when she told them what had happened. And so she now calls Joseph his father. And she says, your father and I have sought you sorrowfully. In other words, she was publicly calling Joseph his father. And probably in her own mind, yes, his stepfather. And Jesus then rebukes her. And he said, I must be about my father's business. I must be about my father's business. In front of the whole crowd of educators and doctors of the law when he was 12 years old. When Nathanael first heard about Jesus, he called Jesus the son of Joseph. Then he meets Jesus, and he now calls him the son of God after he meets him. And so Jesus never would allow Joseph to be called his father. His father is God, and if his father is God, that makes him God also. And so the modern ones in the Luke 2:33, they call Joseph in the context Jesus' father. What is wrong with this is when these translators do that, they know what they're doing. Now, they say, well, the manuscripts we had said that Joseph was his father. And there was a group in the second century, they were called Ebionites, and you can look them up in the history books if you want to take the time. And they believed that Joseph and Mary were the father and mother of Jesus, and that Jesus became the Messiah by keeping the law perfectly. But Isaiah 7:14, in Isaiah it says, a virgin shall conceive. And this was a sign to the house of David. Wouldn't be a sign if it was just a young woman. In Furthermore, the Hebrew word there, Alma, is always used of a virgin in other places in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Greek word Parthenos is always used as a virgin, and so it's used that way in the Greek New Testament. And so in there, so it says that a virgin, so it is teaching the teaching that Jesus' Father is God. That is the most fundamental teaching. And when Peter was talking to Jesus and he says, who do men say they am? And there's a lot of different opinions back then as there is today. And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you. And people that believe this from their heart, it is a revelation of Almighty God through the Holy Spirit given to our hearts. And so in this passage, when they translate that his father and his mother, now the King James says Joseph and his mother, they knew what they were doing. They were unbelievers that did this. And you say, well, they might say, well, we had it in our manuscript. Well, if they had 10 manuscripts and six of them said his father, why wouldn't they use the manuscript that said Joseph and his mother? Why wouldn't they pick that? Well, they didn't pick it because it shows the attitude of their heart. And by the way, the Greek manuscripts, according to Bergen, who probably did more research on it, a man in the 19th century, Episcopalian in the 19th century, and his writings are in the museums in England, he did more research on this subject than almost any other person. And he pointed out that over 99% of the ancient manuscripts back up the received text that has come down to us, back up the King James. So why did they translate it, his father and his mother, and call Joseph his father and his mother? Well, you see, the enemies of Jesus, they would teach that in his day. They said they would say that Jesus was born in fornication. But it's the Spirit of God that says that Jesus is the true Son of God. Now, the modern ones say his father and his mother. They called Joseph his father. And this is a serious thing. Now, the Bible says in 1 John, if a person does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, then don't have anything to do with them. And I say that for these modern translations. Let's look at some other verses. In 1 Timothy 3:16, in the Authorized King James Bible says, God was manifest in the flesh. This is the text that has come down to us. And it says, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And yet the modern ones say, he who was manifest. It's not even good grammar. And what are they doing once again? They don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So, and the problem is sometimes evangelical born-again Christians are actually using information or dictionaries put out by unsaved people. I had one professor at Moody, Dr. Martin, and he defended the King James Bible. But I had another professor at Huntington College who was a translator of the New International Version. And I asked him, I said, well, where did this text come from? And he said, well, people made this text up. There were scholars in Europe, but they weren't evangelicals. Well, an evangelical is supposed to believe the Bible's the word of God. Jesus died for our sins and bodily rose from the dead. And according to this translator of the NIV, the text, because they make up these texts. One preacher says to me, well, I believe in the original Greek text. And I going by the original, I says, well, what text are you talking about? Well, that was the end of the conversation. They have underlying texts, and a lot of them are corrupt, put together by people that are not saved by their own admission. And sometimes they put these Greek and English dictionaries, they call them lexicons, together, and these lexicons are corrupt themselves. And they're following definitions maybe given by heathen playwrights, immoral playwrights, or definitions given by individuals that are not even Christians or heathen philosophers. You know, there's a verse in the scripture, it says this, it says, we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. And the modern ones, when they tell you, they have these things that tell you how to find the originals, and the Lord never told us to look for the originals because he said he'd preserve his word down through the centuries. And one of these things they'll say is the most difficult reading is the best. And they did this because a man named Origen, as we have mentioned many times before, he changed, revised the scriptures into classical Greek. But it says, we speak in the words which God gave us, you know, comparing scripture with scripture. In the words which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing scripture with scripture. And so to find a definition of words, you don't go to a heathen philosopher and an immoral playwright that was written some thousands of years ago. You see how the word is used in other places in the scripture. It is defined by the Bible. And by the way, you want to study the Bible. The Bible says comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Get a concordance or you can get some of these computers now, you know, that you can copy in a word and see how that word is used all through the Bible. It'll give you the whole sentence, and it'll give you the verses before and after. And you will find out the secret things of God that way. So anyway, we were talking, and so when they translate in 1 Timothy 3:16, as we said, why didn't they put God? Why did they put he who? They didn't abide in the doctrine of Christ. We see 1 John 5:7. There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Here it says, it shows that Jesus is the Word of God, that it shows the triune God. And preachers are told, well, there's no Greek manuscript. It's interesting, however, that Tertullian, who wrote in the second century, and if you read his writings, he's telling you where the original autographs were kept at that time. And he quotes 1 John 5:7 and never questions it. And preachers are not taught that. Why not? Because they're being taught so many times propaganda. And that's why we have this program. And I'd like to mention this book again. But Dr. Ripplinger, who has put out the New Age Bible versions, has done a tremendous study and the best person in the world on these on modern versions, and she has written a book that is called Hazardous Materials, and you can look it up on the internet. A 1,200-page book. It's just a masterpiece of scholarship and based on the Bible. And she shows how these lectionaries or Greek-English dictionaries are made, or the basis of the modern translations. And it's a profound subject, but she gives like machine gun bullets. It's simple. Very simple language, and she's a godly lady. She had represented the United States in world scholarship, and you say, well, I don't believe any of this stuff. Well, you ought to at least check it out. You ought to read the book. And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And God made languages. He says, with men of other tongues will I speak unto this people. How do we know the Bible is the word of God? If you've never studied this subject, you know the reason the King James continues on is very simple. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth, the apostles. It has to be written by the apostles or somebody knew the apostles with them. And he will abide with you forever. And he, the Holy Spirit of God, witnesses to the believers of the true text. And that's why in a recent poll, well over half people read the Bible every day. Read the King James. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is bearing witness to it. And he moves the Christian to the right text. He is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth, not partial truth. That's why we believe that the King James Bible is all truth. And people that correct it, they don't know what they're talking about. And they ought to think of their ways when they recommend corrupt Bibles. Modern versions take the names of Jesus out of 100 places, and we've been offering this for the last 4 years, and it shows the exact place where Jesus is kicked out of his own Bible. Thank God. The Bible says, in thy word do I trust. And when we read our King James Bible, we can know it's God's word for us today. God says, I'll honor my word above all my name. This is the Bible that's been honored worldwide, been sold more than any other book that was ever written. and it will go on, and the stars may fall out of the heavens, the universe may disintegrate, but God's word will continue on forever. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's program. To receive a free handout listing the 100 verses in the New Testament where the names of Jesus have been eliminated in the modern versions, send your email request to bbteuclid@yahoo.com. That's bbteuclid@yahoo.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. Pastor Andy Rusnacko and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10:30, followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 7, and the midweek prayer and Bible study is Wednesday at 7. Bible Baptist Temple is located at 1565 Chardon Road in Euclid. For complete ministry information, please visit online at BibleBaptistEuclid.com. That's BibleBaptistEuclid.com. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid, Ohio.